Welcome back. Today, we're diving into how men and women differ when it comes to food. I don't know if it's necessarily like a Mars-Venus thing, although men from Mars does resonate for me living with men. But when it comes to eating, we definitely do see a lot of stereotypical behaviors. So we're going to explain what we observe in working with both men and women and how our advice might differ. We're going to generalize here. We don't want to offend anyone. There's, you know, a lot of information on men, but this definitely isn't an episode, you know, sort of like, we still want you to listen if you're female. But I think that like, once you see these differences, you're better able to relate to the food choices and the needs of your, you know, male friends, coworkers, partners, parents, you know, all the guys in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe make some suggestions for them too. So first of all, we have to say we don't see couples together. We're pro couples therapy, of course, big fans, but we are not pro couples nutrition. And for the record, I don't know, I haven't really been asked.
This might have been like pre you, but I definitely was asked, tried this, hugely unsuccessful, like War of the Roses in my office. So we don't do that anymore.
Not ideal. Yeah. So to clarify, we don't see male-male or female-female relationships, couples either. This is really because nutrition and food is such a personal thing. So we'll see each member of a couple separately, definitely. Lauren and I both have several couples we see individually. And this is because everyone eats at different times, has a different health history, different genetics, different food likes and dislikes. And we really, really think nutrition should be personalized.
Yeah. And I think it's a losing proposition when couples try to match themselves or do a plan, you know, completely the same way. It usually backfires, and it usually backfires for the woman. I think in every aspect of a relationship, you just have to have your own identity. And I think trying to, you know, sort of impart your habits or vice versa on another person is tricky at best.
Yeah, totally. And trying to be the cool girl who eats pizza and drinks beer all the time has never ended well. And we've seen many of those people come through.
No, or the converse. So trying to convert someone to be super health conscious, you know, I've been trying to do that for over 20 years.
How's it going?
Not so well. But again, I think, again, we are to a certain extent who we are. We can all improve that. And we shouldn't necessarily try to be the other person with food.
Definitely. So it's time to talk men and also how men and women differ when it comes to eating. So we've heard from a couple of male listeners. If you're out there, thank you for listening. And we want men to join the Food Trainers party. So please encourage or maybe force your significant other, your siblings, your dads to listen to this. Yeah.
And I think just basically an important place to start is probably that men and women seek out medical and health advice differently. I think in general, men are less likely to outsource anything. Men avoid, you know, we're stereotyping, men avoid doctors and hospitals and are usually like, and even things like checkups and preventive measures. They're usually less likely to seek those out.
We're stereotyping, but that's research based too.
Definitely. And I mean, even our practice is probably, 80% women, you know, that might be even a little bit higher than that. But we love, you know, we call it do training and our do training guys, just because men tend to be really proactive mm-hmm. clients. And they're probably more independent with the way that they pursue food. So we can, you know, more of our women like to come in every week. Men, you know, usually even an initial plan can really set them on their way and they can check in less frequently.
Definitely. Men and women, first of all, we have to say we differ based on size and muscle mass. Mm. So portions probably won't look exactly the same. Men tend to lose weight faster, as we hear all the time, like once a day at least. I hear that someone's boyfriend or husband stuck to a plan for a week and is already at his goal weight. That's because men are larger, they have more testosterone, they build muscle more easily, faster metabolisms. So unfortunately, most women can't eat exactly the way that men can.
So sad. And portions are an important one, as Carolyn said. But our relationship to exercise is definitely different between men and women. Like a common syndrome or pattern that we've observed are men who were highly athletic in high school or college, you know, their whole identity was sports. And then when they enter the workforce, they start to gain weight as their activity has, you know, they can't do sports all day, et cetera. I think this is not at all to say that women are not just as committed to their sports, but like female athletes on the high school and college level seem to, at least, you know, sort of the adults that we're seeing, the women seem to have been on board with watching their nutrition sooner, mm-hmm. and the men weren't as focused on that. I also think with exercise that men tend to overemphasize the importance of that exercise has, you know, especially if they're trying to change that body composition once it changes, and should really be looking at their food a little bit more. And probably as women, we should be looking at our food a little bit less.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, so the former athlete and now what thing with men is definitely real. Maybe it's a little bit better now. You know, we do see some teen clients here, teen athletes, and they seem to care about nutrition a lot more. They're introduced to the idea of it a little bit sooner. And another really interesting area is food variety. So we often see that men come in, they stick to a plan with little or absolutely no fluctuation. Whereas women love to talk about the emotional stuff. And of course, Lauren and I love to talk about that stuff too. But men really often love the rules and the metrics mm-hmm. a little bit more. And this is why our plans for men are always going to be a little bit different. And like Lauren loves rules and metrics too. You love your counting steps. And like, I love seeing that stuff too. I'm more of like a soul cycle than a flywheel person though, because the metrics.
I think it says everything. Like that choice says so much about
totally.
People.
But, and so even though for women, there tend to, if you love structure, there still tend to be emotional decisions affecting your food. It's a little less robotic for women than it is for men when it comes to rules.
Definitely. I think I said this on our breakfast podcast, but I'll repeat it quickly. I saw a man and I actually also saw his wife separately, and we set up a nutrition plan and he followed it to the letter, you know, lost weight over a few months. And he came in to Food Trainers 10 years later, you know, just wanted to see if there were new things to suggest. And we started going through his history and like he was eating the yogurt with fruit, the salad with double protein for lunch, the pistachio snack. I remember it exactly. Like maybe, is there a woman listening that would ever do that? I mean, let us know if so. But in my experience, like that would work for like zero women. Mm-hmm. We like more variety with our foods. At times too much variety, but for the sake of even getting nutrition in, if you're, you know, somebody who's tends to eat on autopilot, which does have its benefits, you want to have at least two options in your repertoire for each meal. So like a yogurt breakfast and an egg breakfast so that you get different nutrients. Mm-hmm. And interesting too, just, you know, as we're talking about what appeals to men and women, there's also a biological component to some of this when it comes to food cravings. They even did brain scans of favorite foods when men and women weren't necessarily hungry. And the women's brain scans showed so much more activity in like the part of the brain that controls the desire to eat. And then there was like another study or another part of that study where they told men and women to ignore their cravings for their favorite food, and that the women's brain showed much greater response to their favorite food. So it might explain a little bit of why women might have a little bit more struggle in this department.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can really all learn from each other, shocking, that there are things that maybe females can do that might be considered more typically male, maybe a little bit less variety might help mm-hmm. there, and things vice versa that men can do or men need that women typically do, like a little more awareness of body cues and talking about emotions and maybe seeing more health professionals too. But let's talk about body satisfaction for a second. And hopefully you listened to our Body Angst podcast a couple of pods back. If not, please go back and listen. We think it's a really, really great and important topic. But one really large survey found that of people who are a healthy weight, 23% of the women perceived themselves as overweight, while only 9% of men did. So, you know, it comes down a lot to how we view ourselves, a little bit of like, I don't know if it's quite body dysmorphia, but just like not seeing the reality. Men tend to be much more accepting of their bodies, and as a result can have a more relaxed approach to their food choices very often. To compound this, interestingly, studies also show that women think men favor much thinner women than men say they actually do prefer. Mm. So this is where generalizations do get tricky. Men have body stuff. Right. You know, we talked about that a little bit in the Body Angst podcast too, but men hate having a beer gut. Even thin men can feel too small. Body composition is still a really, really big deal for men and building muscle. And we even see this again, I mentioned teens earlier, and Yeah, it's a big deal. We see a lot of young kids come in who really, really want to put on muscle. So we don't want anyone dissatisfied, but if anyone's listening who is a parent or a coach of teens, definitely have your radar up, not just for young women with food, but watch those boys too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great that we're so aware of the potential pitfalls that are, again, stereotypically female at those ages, but there are, you know, it's a difficult time for all. Those age groups.
Yeah. So as much as we're pointing out all the differences, in many ways, men and women should be eating similarly. We're thinking more veggies always, more lean proteins like wild fish, grass-fed meats, gluten-free grains, less sugar, less junky oils, less of the processed carbs, all of that. There are some places though, and some nutrients where there are going to be really big differences because in case you missed it, women don't have prostates and they definitely don't have sperm. And there are what we would call, they're prostate foods. We like to call them dude foods.
A little better.
Instead, it sounds a little bit better. Two of them actually are going to be watermelon and tomatoes. They both have lycopene in them. I think it's actually what makes them red, that red color.
The pigment.
And some research links high lycopene with protection against prostate and other cancers. And it's also heart protective. So watermelon and tomatoes for men as often as possible.
I see. I get the sperm conversation.
You're welcome.
Love how that worked out. So I think, again, we are seeing a lot of people. We see more women. But if you're a couple and infertility is an issue, we all know better now than to just focus on the female. So in terms of sperm health, one of the most important nutrients is zinc. So if you become zinc deficient, your chances of an inflamed prostate increase, your chances of prostate cancer are higher. And your sperm are just not in as good a shape. So food sources, shellfish is the best source. So especially those oysters are good for other things in that category too. And pumpkin seeds are an excellent source of zinc. There's also an interesting supplement in terms of sperm support called Makuna, it improves your libido, but it also helps with better functioning just of reproductive organs and healthy sperm. And it comes either as a powder that you can mix into a smoothie or coffee or as a supplement. So the zinc is important in terms of, it would probably be the number one nutrient in terms of helping sperm, but just poor diets, you know, the typical Western diet, they've even traced it as far back as teen years, can then potentially impact, which is scary. Men's fertility in their, you know, sort of 20s and onward.
Wow, it's so interesting. A really fun fact I read recently is that if men take super hot baths or hot tubs very often, it can actually kind of cook their sperm and, you know, lovely. That sounds so gross. And decrease male fertility overall.
Mark loves a hot tub, by the way, so which I'm fine with at this point in life. But another one, which I'm crazy about with my kids, are laptops. So you don't want like literally laptops on your lap. You always want something in between. But yeah, you don't want a laptop directly on you, I guess is the message that we're giving. Another important topic for men, and as you can kind of see, like there are just topics that tend to come up a lot in our sessions with men, is increasing muscle mass. And here's an interesting place where like our advice would differ depending on gender. So something like whey protein. Great for building muscle. And for this reason, we like it for men or women without a weight loss goal or teens. So that our advice would be different. There is a great brand called Terra's Whey Protein, Whey's Dairy. So you always want to make sure that it's grass-fed. Most, if you're looking for like lists of muscle-building foods, you're going to find like just giant lists of all different proteins. So you definitely want to have a good amount of protein throughout your day and not just, you don't want to have like a big protein dinner. So it's actually better with that protein if your goal is to increase muscle mass to have it sort of throughout your entire day, kind of evenly spaced. And timing matters. You know, when we eat is as important as what we eat. But for muscle building, you really, really, really want to have protein within 2 hours of your workout. That's an important one. So increase protein, whey protein is great. Space your protein throughout the day. And then I think a lot of people don't think of this, but omega-3s, which again are those good fats in salmon, listen to our Alaska episode, really help with protein synthesis. And your having, you know, sort of more omega-3s in your diet increase your chances of building and maintaining muscle. So we've talked about fish a lot. We also have walnuts, which are the only nut that have omega-3s. We have these great maple walnuts in the shop. Chia seed is another great plant source of omega-3s. And finally, in terms of muscle, there's an amino acid called leucine, L-E-U-C-I-N-E. It's one of the branched chain amino acids, very important for muscle protein synthesis. Eggs and, you know, one of your spermy foods too, pumpkin seeds are really good sources. Sort of, I think the jury's still out whether or not we need to supplement that.
Yeah.
And certainly teens looking to build muscle, we try to have them supplement as little as possible and stick to foods more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so on the supplement sort of convo, supplements generally are a little bit different for men versus women, but there are some overlap, even if the reasoning behind them might mm-hmm. be a little bit different. So our foursome, our Foodtrainer's foursome available on our shop is vitamin D, magnesium, omega-3s, and probiotic. We suggest that to almost all clients. It's a really, really good starter pack, regardless of your gender. And here's one fun new one for you guys. Saw palmetto is a supplement that helps improve urinary problems in men, and it helps maintain normal levels of testosterone. It is known for being effective in preventing hair loss and increasing libido and overall prostate health. So that's a really good one, saw palmetto. And then CoQ10 is another one you may have heard of. Research shows that about 100 milligrams a day with food can help exercise. It's great for athletes, great for heart health. And it's also really, really great for male fertility. We love NatureWise or Jarro brands. So CoQ10 yeah. and saw palmetto.
And anyone, male or female, who's on a statin actually, the statin drugs deplete your CoQ10. So if you're taking any of those meds or anyone you know is taking one of those meds, I just made my mother start it too. You definitely want to be supplementing CoQ10, male or female. I get all the doozies. This does come up. And interestingly, you wouldn't think that it would come up because you would think men might be shy about discussing it. But men are, sexual vitality is important to everyone. It's a part of our health. But I think that for some reason, men seem to want to discuss it more, maybe. All the drugs, the Viagra, the Cialis, all of them, and most meds come with serious side effects.
Right.
Drops in blood pressure, vision loss, hearing loss. You know, I mean, you've heard like the commercials, the side effects go on and on. Chest pain, dizziness, rash, difficulty breathing. So, I mean, it's like, yes, there's a place for meds and we're not anti-med by any means, but I don't think you want to perform sexually and go blind.
That doesn't seem like a great trade-off.
No, I mean, that's what it is though, is that everything really is a trade-off. And I think that this is an area where men fall prey to a lot of scams with herbal products and things of that nature. You want to look at why a problem is happening. So there's a lot, even your cardiac health is a lot of ED or erectile dysfunction is related to another health problem. So you want to look at that. You want to look at meds. A lot of meds, even like your SSRI meds, which are used for treating depression, can affect sex drive and sex quality. So again, just like an easy one, and Carolyn mentioned this as a prostate food or a dude food, watermelon. Still summer right now. But watermelon has a really interesting component called L-citrulline. It's said to stimulate blood flow to the penis. I'm a grown-up. It's said to stimulate blood flow to the penis. I actually was reading this study yesterday and told my kids that. And they were like, Mom, we're not on board yet with whether this, like the leucine, should be supplemented. But here's a case where it can't hurt.
To eat more watermelon. Yeah.
No. And I think, what won't make you go blind?
Very helpful also.
So again, there's a lot in this, arena that's perfectly safe and worth a try. One thing that is really important with men, and it's a little counterintuitive because it's healthy, is exercise. So high intensity workouts, which are super popular right now, increase your production of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Stay with me. So cortisol competes with testosterone in your body. So what you're doing is you're doing something that's good for you and good for your heart, and maybe at the expense of your testosterone level. So again, do you want to have really good abs, or do you want to,
be able to do other things?
But again, if you're somebody who's concerned about this or having issues with this and also is living at the gym doing crazy workouts.
That's such a good point. I have a client whose husband is a runner and they're having a really difficult time getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. And that's what the doctors are really looking at now. It's really fascinating.
I'm excited that the doctors would think in those terms. Because you think about taking out things that are clearly bad.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You don't think about taking out something that's healthy. And I think cortisol, one trick to find out, like, or a hint, if we ask people in the morning when you wake up, do you feel rested? And when they say people are terribly low energy in the morning, it can be a sign of like cortisol dysfunction or adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. So I think nothing in an extreme case is really good for you.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about testosterone for a second. As Lauren started to mention, it's not just about sex drive and masculinity. Women have testosterone too, and it's really, really important. It's not just some sort of meathead steroid-taking drug. It's important for muscle mass and for strength, but it's also responsible for our bone health and bone mass, for red blood cell production, for fat distribution, for mood, for memory, and many women and men can run low. Mm-hmm. And so there are some drugs that can affect it, from steroids, of course, but also hair loss products, Propecia, those sorts
Propecia,
of things.
And we'll get to hair in a minute, but Propecia is like terrible for men in that, like,
makes sense that everything has side effects. Opiates, and including prescription pills, antibiotics, THC in pot, and then seriously heavy alcohol consumption, which we see with men.
Mm-hmm. And one, and again, we're always looking for ways to remedy things. One interesting mechanism, there is something in your body, an enzyme called aromatase, that converts testosterone in men to estrogen. There are foods, like really basic foods, like fiber and veggies and green tea, that prevent that. So the net-net is that if you have less of your testosterone getting converted to estrogen, you have more testosterone. And they're, again, easy, safe fixes.
Definitely. So we should also probably talk about men versus women when it comes to timing and with food and fasting. It's really interesting. We're hearing so much about intermittent fasting. I feel like men are like especially have tons of questions about it. And men do tend to be less sensitive to the blood sugar fluctuations that happen with stricter intermittent fasting. So sort of like squishing those eating hours a little bit more. Men tend to have an easier time with than women. Women do have more of a hormonal and blood sugar fluctuation when we fast a little.
Do you think that's why it's so much more popular with men, because it's easier for them?
I think so. Yeah.
That they can sort of do, it's an easy change.
Yeah, exactly. And it's true of keto too. There's really research that suggests that our sex hormones might modulate the way that men versus women respond to keto diets. So especially if fertility is an issue, going full-blown keto or going super, super strict intermittent fasting is not great for women. Mm-hmm. And it might be a little different postmenopausal. We're sort of starting to really see the research on that come out now. So that's a whole other topic.
We're going long today. This is like a big topic. I mean, and I think sort of good quality nutrition for men, the information is like few and far between. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to cover, but I think we should say a little bit just in terms of men and male pattern, hair loss, et cetera, mm-hmm. just because I think men's self-image can really take a huge hit with anyone's self-image can take a huge hit with their hair, but it's something, sort of a different hair loss is different for men than it is for women. Collagen proteins, we have like our mm-hmm. vital protein you can add to a smoothie or coffee, very good for hair health. A lot being done, not necessarily nutrition, but with PRP, which is, sort of platelets being used. I feel like PRP is being used for everything, injuries, hair loss, et cetera. Red light therapy, really, I'm obsessed. I do have.
You are.
Not necessarily for hair health, but for collagen production, I have a new a Juve red light device. And in terms of supplementation, there's two. We love NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine. It's our everything pills. Very good for your liver. Very good for midsection weight loss. But it's a very good detoxifier, and very important when it comes to hair health.
Interesting.
And also, I think there's a lot of hair vitamins. We like Biosil. There's a ton of them out there. Not as much a fan of like straight biotin, but a company called Nutrafol does amazing hair supplements for both men and women. And I think they're revolutionary. I think they're fantastic, but they're really looking at the things that lead to hair loss, like inflammation. And, you know, they even have adaptogens in them because stress is another factor. So there are these cocktails that are really sort of, you know, just groundbreaking with a different one for men and for women. I would check out their website too. Really like them and really effective.
Yeah. Okay. So this has been a ton of info. Lauren, what do you think is your biggest piece of advice for men with food?
I think that just that whole reluctance to seek out advice or outsource, mm-hmm. I think that it's a tough egg to crack with men. Usually, you know, sort of somebody else in their life is help who's had a positive experience is usually how, you know, we get the guys that come in. But I think, you know, sort of thinking of it in terms of optimizing your health. And, you know, sort of not being afraid to sort of get another set of eyes. We all know how to eat, obviously, yeah. But do you know how to eat to maximize your sexual health, your exercise gains and all of that?
Right, definitely. I think that men tend to go so hardcore and so extreme all the time. And then, so like they'll really rage hard and then cut back really hard too. So I think thinking of this more as for the long term and not just the short term is the number one thing I would recommend for men.
Yeah, so, sort of that black and white, you know, either on or off. Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you guys so much for listening in. We hope you learned some things. Subscribe, share.
Force those guys to listen.
Yes, please. And let us know what you guys have tried, what you like, what you find is different for your significant other or parent or siblings or whatever it is. And yeah, we would love to hear from you. So thanks for listening.